The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
In the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And the people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Now please be seated. Grace, you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As we grow in this relationship together, as we get to know one another a little bit better, there's going to be a few things that you discover about your pastor. Today, one that, yeah, I do have some colorful socks that I wear from time to time. But there's another thing that that I share readily, and is having been married to a former language arts teacher and high school librarian for 22 years now, and being that my wife's mother is a retired professor from Charleston Southern University, director of their library, and also someone who is very, very well educated, one of the things I've had to learn to do throughout my life together with them is I've had to learn how to speak well. Yeah, I hear some chuckles going on out there, and it's really funny because for the last, well, it took probably 15 years for me to finally realize my grammar is not so great. And, you know, Angela and her mom have that look about them that when I say something, one of them is going to correct my grammar. You know, I'll say something like, "Yeah, I should have went over there." And, of course, "No, you should have gone." Well, no, I should have went, you know, but yeah, they would correct my grammar. And so now I find myself, when I'm in the midst of a group of people, especially when I'm with other pastors, and I hear them talk, and they'll say something, I'll be silently correcting their grammar. And maybe sometimes not so silently. But I come by it honest. But today's lessons that we have in front of us today, especially our first lesson from Isaiah and our gospel text from Mark, are a good lesson in grammar. Both of our texts this morning have two voices that call out. You know, in Isaiah, it says, "A voice cries, 'In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord.'" And Mark, we have that sentence, "A voice crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord." If you listen to both of those, they sound so similar. But there's two distinct voices at work here. Okay, the first voice, "A voice cries, 'In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord.'" That's the voice of Isaiah the prophet. Isaiah the prophet was called amongst God's people after years and years and years of their life in the city of Jerusalem, years of growing in their disobedience to God's law. Things were going well for them. It was in the midst of the great and shiny city of Jerusalem. Everybody seemed to have plenty. There were very few people who lacked anything. And the more that they had, the less that they lacked, the more comfortable they became, the farther and farther they would wander from God. The farther and farther they would wander from God. And so God finally, in the midst of this disobedience, in the midst of all of these things, God called the prophet Isaiah to come speak the word of the Lord to the people. A word of correction. A word of warning. A word of getting back to your roots. Get back to following God like you always did. But they ignored, for the most part, the prophet. Jerusalem had a problem when God's prophets would show up. They would largely turn their backs on the prophets because the prophet would call them to a word of correction, call them to a way of reorienting their life, pointing out their misgivings and pointing out their disobedience and telling them that you need to get back on the right road, or God is going to be so displeased with you, you're going to face His wrath. Isaiah was the prophet who came and who basically came in as the last straw. And Isaiah spoke the word of correction, but the people continued to turn their back on their God. The God that delivered them from bondage 400 years in Egypt. The God who supplied water and manna for them as they wandered in the wilderness those 40 years. The God who promised to bring them to a land flowing with milk and honey. The God who fulfilled every one of these promises. The people, after receiving God's law and entering into that covenant with God, "You shall be my people, I shall be your God." They turned their back. They began to wander from that covenant relationship. They began to worship false gods. They began to let cultures from outside of their own influence the way they would do things. Until one day, God's wrath came upon them. God allowed a conquering army to come into Jerusalem, to invade them, to take them over, and to take the people of Israel into bondage once again, this time in Babylon. The prophet's warnings were ignored. God's wrath came upon them, and they received the punishment that God had warned them about. Suddenly, the Jews were no longer in that shiny city. Suddenly, they were no longer comfortable. Suddenly, they didn't have any wealth to fall back on. They were thrown into a wilderness of a foreign country. They were forced to serve a king, not their own. They were forced to bow down to unfamiliar and foreign false gods. Gods with no power. Gods that could promise them nothing. Gods that offered them no hope. Any place outside of Jerusalem, any place outside of Judah or the land of Israel, for the Israelites was considered the wilderness. Finally, they discovered they were in the wilderness with no hope of getting out. But God, the same God who delivered the Hebrew people from bondage in Egypt, the same God filled with compassion and love, after a time of exile, had compassion on His people. He did not forget them in this wilderness. And once again, the voice of Isaiah called out, "Prepare the way of the Lord. Make a straight highway in the desert. For He is about to deliver you from this bondage. He's heard your cries. He's had compassion. He's slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and He will deliver you. Prepare to receive this deliverance from your almighty and loving God." And sure enough, as the people turned back towards God, as they turned back to faithfulness, as they strove for obedience as best they could, God delivered them from bondage. And they returned to that city of Jerusalem. When they got there, they found anything but the shining city on a hill. They found anything but these magnificent buildings. Jerusalem had been destroyed. The temple had been brought down. And so as they started to be rebuilt, next thing you know, they're being overrun by the Greeks. And after the Greeks, it was the Romans after them. To say that they returned from the wilderness and back into the city would be a stretch. They returned to their beloved country. They returned to their beloved city, but they certainly did not return to the life that they thought that they enjoyed for so long. And for 400 years, the prophets of God were silent. For 400 years, the Jews would live under occupation of foreign countries. They would be oppressed. They would live in poverty. They would be aliens in their own land. And the cry would continue to go up, "How long, O Lord, must we wait for your deliverance? How long will it be, God, before you finally restore the kingdom?" So while Isaiah's voice was fresh on their minds, even after 400 years in the wilderness, prepare the way, they found themselves in this wilderness. John appeared. As our scripture in the gospel says, John appeared. He appeared in the wilderness. And when asked who he was, he said, I'm a voice crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Isaiah recounts, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. John says, I am the voice in the wilderness crying out, prepare the way of the Lord. It all depends where you put that comma. It all depends on how good your grammar is. You know, one of the things you learn in Greek as you go through seminary is there is no punctuation. You have to learn the formula of the language. You got to know where to put that comma, where to put the periods and the question marks. The people of God had returned to Jerusalem, and for 400 years they were back in their city, but they were still in the wilderness. They were still in uncertainty. That's what the wilderness is. It's uncertainty. They were still in the wilderness. John called them. He was the voice in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. John was there with them in the wilderness. And since God's prophet was there with them in the wilderness, so was their loving God. God was there with them in this wilderness that they had endured for 400 years. John called them out of the city, into the countryside, away from any kind of creature comforts that they may have had. He called them out of the cities, out to the banks of the Jordan. He called them to confess their sins. He called them to receive the baptism of repentance. And he called them to turn around from this behavior that's contrary to God's teaching and to live for God alone. Both of these voices, Isaiah's voice and John's voice, these are the voices of Advent. We find ourselves in the midst of Advent, and we have before us these two ancient voices, Isaiah and John, calling us to make ourselves ready. Make ourselves ready to receive the goodness and the grace, the compassion of our loving God. And we do this in the season of Advent, anticipating the celebration of Jesus' birth. You know, Jesus himself was born into the wilderness. Think about it. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, there in the midst of Judah, was under the oppression of the Roman government. The Romans occupied the known world. People were forced to pay taxes to Caesar. They were forced to worship Caesar as a god. They were forced to live a life contrary to what they would want to do. And Jesus was born in the midst of all of this. He was born in the midst of poverty. He was born in the midst of hunger. He was born in the midst of strife. And yet John, years later, would call out, prepare the way of the Lord. The Lord is among you. He is coming. He is the one who is so mighty, I'm not even worthy to untie his sandals. And Jesus appeared in this wilderness. You know, Jesus is the one who meets us all in our wilderness. He met the people of Israel back then. He met the Jews and the people of the countryside in their wilderness. He met them in their sickness. He met them in their hunger. He met them in their sorrow. He met them even in death. People would bring the sick and the lame to him, and he would cure them. People would come to him hungry, desperate for food, and they would be fed. They would come and they would pray at Jesus' feet for either themselves or for their neighbor, and Jesus would have compassion. And even Jesus would raise the widow's son and even his friend Lazarus from death. Jesus delivered the people from the wilderness. He went out to the wilderness. He was in the midst of the wilderness with them, and he shared God's grace and love with them. So much so that he would deliver the people of God for all time from the wilderness through his crucifixion and his death on the cross. He rescued us from sin. He rescued us from the wilderness of the grave through his resurrection. And he promised to come again and rescue us from the wilderness of earthly life, taking us into his kingdom forever and ever and ever. God is still the God who meets his people in the wilderness. He's still the God who has compassion. And he's still the God who comes to us when we call upon him for help. You know, reflecting on all of this, reflecting on these two voices, Isaiah and John the Baptist, reflecting on the mission and ministry of Jesus Christ, you know, his death and his resurrection, reflecting on all the things that we learn about Jesus through the Gospels, we have to be able to listen to that voice, especially during this busy time of shopping malls and social gatherings and just all the busyness that goes around with the season. We have to listen to this voice. In these times of uncertainty, in these times of political unrest, in these times of worrying about what's happening on the other side of the world, because the world has become such a small place, what happens on the other side of the world affects us here. In the midst of all of this worry, in the midst of all of the things that surround our broken humanity, we must listen to the voice. We can't listen to the voices outside of our Christian culture. We can't listen to the voices of our post-Christian world. And we have to drown out those voices that would lead us further and further and further from the truth of Scripture. We have to listen to the voice crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord." In our second lesson, the Apostle Peter asks a wonderful question. I brought this up on Wednesday night, and I think it bears bringing up again. The Apostle Peter asks a wonderful question, considering all of the things of the world and the understanding that all of this will fade away. He points out that the day of the Lord is coming. Last week we talked about the word Advent meaning coming. Jesus is coming. But nobody knows what day. Nobody knows what hour. Only the Father knows. So in all of this, Peter asks, "Since all of these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you be in lives of holiness and godliness?" Indeed, what sort of people ought we be in the lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God? That's Peter's way of saying, how are you to prepare the way for the coming of Christ? Indeed, what kind of people of faith are we going to be? What kind of people of compassion are we going to be? What kind of people are we going to be this Advent season as we wait for the return of our Lord? We're still people who walk in the wilderness. We are still people who are fallen into sin. The wilderness of our life and times isn't much different than the wilderness of the people way back as they were taken into captivity. We still have those voices from outside leading us astray. What sort of people will we be as we prepare to meet our Lord Jesus Christ? Well, we're to be people of worship. We're to be those people who gladly come to the house of God and lift our voices in praise and prayer and thanksgiving. We're to be those people who live a life of prayer, praying not only for ourselves, but also for our brothers, our sisters, and for our neighbors all around the world, praying for their well-being, praying for those people who don't have faith, that they may come to faith so that they can know Jesus Christ as Lord. We're to be people who read Scripture daily, to be immersed in the Word of God so that we know the Word of God. How many times have we heard people say, yeah, this is the way it's supposed to be, that's what it says in the Bible, but they've never read that in the Bible, they've only been told it says that in the Bible. We are to be people who know the Word of God. The only way to know it is to read it and to live it. We're to be a people who care for their neighbor. We are to be a people who visit the sick. We are to be a people who feed the hungry, to clothe those who are cold and lonely. We are to be people who give shelter to the homeless and love those who society says is so difficult to love. And even in the midst of this wilderness, we don't have to worry about ourselves because God finds us in the wilderness. God is not far off and distant. He is here with us. He finds us in the wilderness. He finds us when we're sick. He finds us when we're broken and tired. He finds us when we're worried about what's going to happen next. He finds us when we feel like we're lost and lonely. He finds us and He fills us. And He brings us hope. Most of all, we are to be a people that is willing to accept God's grace when He finds us in the wilderness of our sin. Through Jesus Christ, God forgives our sins. Through our baptism into Jesus Christ, we are connected to His death, and therefore we're connected to His resurrection. Just as He died, we will die, but just as Christ has been raised, we will be raised also. We are the children of God, and we are the inheritors of His kingdom, all because of our Lord Jesus Christ finding us in the midst of our wilderness. And even in our weakest moments, even in those times where we feel like we're empty, when we can't go on, Jesus meets us at the wilderness, invites us to His table, so that we might receive the full measure of Christ Himself through the bread that's broken and the wine that's poured out. Advent is that time when, in the midst of all these things, in the midst of all the noise, in the midst of the wilderness of our lives, that we acknowledge that God is there with us. We're preparing to receive Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. Jesus was born as Emmanuel, God with us. He lived in the wilderness, God with us. He died, God with us. He was raised, God with us. He promises to be God with us forever. Advent is that time when we prepare ourselves to receive this goodness and mercy. People of God, there's a lot of voices out there. There's a lot of voices calling out to you, saying, go this way, go that way, do this, do that. In the midst of all that noise, hear the voice of the one crying in the wilderness. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make His path straight. For He meets us in the wilderness, and He's there to share the goodness of His kingdom with us today, tomorrow, and always and forever. Amen.